May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. He came to them walking on the sea. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the closest that I have ever come to walking on water was water skiing. Some friends of ours had bought a boat, and occasionally they would invite us up to spend a weekend on the lake skiing. And as you can see, I'm not too aerodynamic. But I did, after much struggles, get up on the skis. I think I drank about half that lake, but I did it. But in no way, any way, how, shape, or form, could you say I was walking on water. I had a lot of trouble staying up on the water. And in our gospel today, we see that Peter had a similar problem. He had trouble staying on top of the water. Now, Matthew, in this whole gospel, and his whole gospel, has been telling us the story of Jesus. He is showing, really, to his Jewish friends, how Jesus fills the whole gospel. And he's taken us from his birth, his ancestry, and he'll take us clear through his crucifixion and resurrection. And in this portion of the story, he had just finished feeding 5,000 people. And what a miracle that is. So that would show, would it not, that he is something more than just a man? That's what the gospel is doing. It's showing us that Jesus is more than just a man. He is the Lord Almighty also. Now we read and reread, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Now this sets the stage for what really happens next, and it will teach us that at times, obedience to his word is not an easy thing to follow. There are difficulties, but it also teaches that we are never, ever without sight his care. The gospel also says, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves. For the wind came against them, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now notice, first of all, where Jesus is and where the disciples are. Jesus is up on a mountain, top in solitary prayer. And the disciples are alone on the sea and in some distress. Yet, they are still not outside his care. Now, it's not disobedience that put those disciples in the boat. In fact, Jesus told them to get in there. Do you see here that Christ teaches us that his kingdom is also one not only of calm water and full baskets, but there also will be contrary winds and dark nights. But again, we are never, never beyond his sight. Now, we sometimes assume that following the Lord is going to be make our seas all smooth and happy and calm waters will surround us. But the Lord does not promise that in a Christian life. No, he doesn't promise us to be free from trouble. But he does promise that he will never abandon us because we are his baptized children. And he will take care of us no matter what kind of trouble we get into, no matter how grievous it is. Now, while the disciples strain at the oars, Jesus is praying. Now, that detail is not something to just pass over. It's not incidental. The one who sent them is also the one who is interceding for them. Christ is not indifferent to his church and his people as they struggle against wind and wave. He sees your struggle. He sees our struggles. He sees the fears. He knows our weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. After all, this is still Christ's church. We are his people, and he is praying for us. Our gospel tells us that Jesus comes walking on water in the fourth watch of the night. By then, the disciples have been battling the wind for hours. Yet the gospel does not say they cry out against the storm. No, they don't cry out against the storm. These are experienced fishermen. They know how to handle waves and strong wind. The fear is because Jesus is walking towards them, and they do not recognize him. They see him walking on the sea and cry out, "It's a ghost!" Their fear is not of the sea that is so powerful, but that the one coming to them appears terrifying to the unbelieving sight. And that could happen to us today. So see the real Jesus and don't be afraid. Luther presses the same point. Faith is tested when Christ seems hidden under the opposite of what we expect. The disciples see Jesus, but their eyes preach fear instead of comfort. They mistake their helper for a ghost, for a spirit. But into that fear, Jesus speaks his gospel. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus comes walking on the water. That's not a trick, not a symbol only, not a magic thing. The man Jesus, born of Mary, real flesh, real feet, walks upon the water. Yet no mere man here or anyplace else can rule the deep. In our Old Testament lesson, the sea is often placed as a place of chaos, danger, death, and it is the Lord who treads upon these waves and governs them. Remember Old Testament reading earlier from Job, where God asked Job, "Or who enclosed the sea?" So here, the gospel shows us again what it's been showing us all along. Jesus is true man, and he is true God, Lord over all creation. So the message of this text is not merely try harder, have more courage, or step out of the boat. The comfort is Christ himself. He is the one who sins. He is the one who prays, sees, comes, and rules over the very thing that frighten and threaten us, his people. The storm is real, but it's not ultimate. Jesus is Lord, and he comes to his frightened church and people with his presence, here in his word, in his saving hand. There is no need to be afraid, for he is omnipotent. He is the Lord. Then Peter speaks, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now there's both boldness and weakness in that sentence. Peter did not say, or does not say, "Lord, let me prove what I can do." He does not take the water as a stage for his courage. He asks for a word from Jesus. Luther is especially helpful here because again and again he teaches that faith does not live from what the eye sees or what the heart feels, but from the promise and command of Christ. Peter's foot is not held up by the water. It is held up by the word, "Come." When Christ speaks, faith has something solid beneath it, even when everything else appears unstable. This, in fact, is what keeps us from turning this message into a message about spiritual bravery. Peter is not an example of human potential in this story. He is a disciple who can only stand where Christ's words hold him. He addresses Jesus as the Lord and asks to be commanded. The miracle is centered in Jesus' authority, not Peter's daring. Christ speaks first, faith answers. Christ gives, faith receives. Christ commands, face steps that where it otherwise would never stand. But then Peter saw the wind, and meaning that he saw what the wind was doing to the waves. The storm did not suddenly become stronger or harder or more real because Peter noticed it. What changed was not the storm, not Jesus, and not the word come. But what changed was his faith. He saw something. His attention was drawn away from it, from his faith. Luther again would say here, we see the old struggle of faith against sight and feeling. The eyes say, you cannot stand here. The flesh says, you're going under. The conscience says, you do not have enough faith. But the word of Christ says, come. Faith is never a possession that we hold in our hands and admire. As it says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Faith cannot sustain itself apart from Christ, who by his grace freely gives grace to us. So Peter begins to sink. And here, his prayer becomes very short. Lord, save me. There's no eloquence in that. There's no polished religious language. There's no bargaining, no explanation. It's simply a cry of a man who has nothing left but Jesus. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hands and takes hold of him. Now, our gospel does not say that Jesus waited until Peter improved his faith. He does not say that Jesus lectured him when he went under. It says, immediately he reached out his hand and took hold of him. Note how Matthew's account moves towards the confession of all the disciples who were in that boat. They confess, truly, you are the Son of God. Peter's sinking and rescue serves that confession. His weakness becomes the place where Christ's saving authority is revealed. This gospel, of course, applies to all of us here today. You know where Christ has placed you in your life, and yet sometimes you feel the wind against you in your vocation, in your family, in this congregation, in your illness, your grief, and maybe even in your repentance. You may look at the future and feel the water under your feet giving way. This text tells you where to look when that courage fails you. Look to the one who rules the seas and stretches out his hands to you. And that hand is not just an empty image. That hand that Peter caught would be later hung on a cross. There, Christ entered the deepest waters he could find for sinners. He went under death itself because he came to save those who sink and flounder in this world's brokenness. He rose again, ascended to the right hand of the Father. And now his hand reaches for you through his preached word, through holy baptism, through his absolution, and through his body and blood that he gives for you. When you cry out, Lord, save me, you're not crying into the empty air. You are calling to the crucified and risen Lord, whose kingdom will have no end. And again, he reaches out his hand for you. So yes, Peter had a little faith, but a little faith has a great Savior. Weak faith, frightened faith, sinking faith, crying faith is still faith when it cries to Jesus. The comfort is not that Peter finally learned to master the waves. The comfort is that Jesus held him and did not let him go. And he will not let you go either. The wind may be contrary. The night may be long. Your own heart may tremble. But Christ is the Lord of the sea, the Lord of all creation, and Lord for you. His words hold. His hands save. His presence lets the disciples and us sitting here at Concordia to confess, truly you are the Son of God. So we return to where we began. I could not walk on the water, and neither could Peter. Not by strength, not by skill, not by courage, and not even by the fullness of faith. Peter walked on the water only because Christ spoke. And Peter was saved only because Christ reached out his hands. And that's our comfort as well. We are not kept above the waves by how well we manage the water, skis, or how strong our faith can be. When you see your sin and weakness, and it begins to sink you, the prayer of Peter is enough. Lord, save me. And the Lord who saved Peter is the Lord who has saved us all, and he will never let you go. So therefore, dear friends here at Concordia, with Peter and with the disciples, and with the whole church and all the people of God, in every storm and in every night, let us confess Jesus is the Son of God, the Lord of creation, and our salvation. And always remember, he loves you. Amen.